Charlie started playing. Good morning. Welcome to Holy Nativity this morning on the 12th day after Pentecost. If you're a visitor here with us this morning, we hope you're warmly welcomed into our worship. Today you were handed the green worship folder. Please make sure you follow the order card that is in the insert. A few announcements for this morning. You'll notice on the table out in the narthex, PR team is getting ready to do another church directory. So if you could please review your information, make sure it's accurate. Any changes need to be made, there's a paper provided. And if your name is not in the list, please do be offended. We're trying to update our records and be more accurate. Just add your name and information on the sheets of paper provided. Thank you very much on that. Also, we just want to give out a nice big shout out to the VBS team for a fantastic job this past week with VBS. We had over 60 participants, and we will also be blessed to have a VBS slideshow at the end of the service. So please make sure you stick around for that. Just also a reminder that the Women's Ministry is having their pool party on Saturday, August 12th at 1 p.m. So ladies, if you would like to attend, please make sure you contact either Terry McFarland or Legita for more information. And then also just a reminder that Rally Day is coming up on September 11th. It will be a unity service with Sunday school and Bible studies at 9. And service begins at 10 o'clock, and we will be having a picnic at the State Park McKinlan area. Thank you very much, and we hope you're blessed with your worship this morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. It was good being away last week on vacation. Didn't have a whole lot of rest because it's not an easy thing going at Busch Gardens with kids. But thank God we are back this week. Let us rise and begin our worship this morning with a vision statement, if we have it. I guess we know what it is by now. All right, so let's do that. We are called by Christ, unified by the Holy Spirit, to grow disciples, to spread the gospel. Let's begin worship with the entrance hymn. Bye. of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. So as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you're always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour down on us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us through those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and meditations of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We've made peace with God. Let us pass that peace now in worship. God's peace, John. Morning. Good morning, God's peace. Good morning. Good morning. It's your first time? Oh, you live in that area?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Good morning. The first lesson today is taken from the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter, verses beginning at the first verse, and is on page 13 in your pew Bibles. This is God's covenant with Abram. And we all know that Abram, his name was changed to Abraham, but right now he's Abram. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Here ends the first lesson.
Good morning. Our second lesson is found in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, starting at the first verse, and it reads, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs of him of the same promise, who was heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country. A heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Here ends our second lesson. Please rise for the singing of our gradual hymn.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. St. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 22 and ends at 34. It reads, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or weep. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet, I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the gospel of the Lord. We continue in worship now by confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those things for which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merit of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us be seated for the sermon hymn. Jesus, lover of my soul, lead me to the
Can I have the kids come up? The baby has a cold and she finally fell asleep, so I couldn't put her down. How are you?
Good.
So, have you ever heard somebody say, if your house was on fire and you could only bring three things with you, what would you bring? Have you ever heard that? Okay, we're gonna play that game. If there were three things that you could only take with you, what are the three things from your house you would take? Clothes and food and one stuffed animal. That's pretty good. I definitely could not narrow it down because there's a lot of things in my house I like. So our Bible verse today talked about selling your possessions and then give to the poor. Well, our possessions, isn't clothes possessions and stuffed animals are possessions and like all of my wedding stuff and photos and all of that, they're possessions, right? Well, Jesus wants us to give that stuff up because can we take any of that to heaven with us? No. That would be kind of crazy if we could. Kind of be weird, right? So he talks about these treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven? But we just said we can't take them with, right? So some things that are treasures in heaven that we can build up are things that we do for others. So if somebody's sick, we could visit them. If there's somebody that might not be in the best mood, and you can tell when somebody's not in a good mood, can't you? I'm pretty good at it too. We can just smile or say hi, or like if you know that mom or dad, they had a really rough day, could you give them a hug? And maybe just say, I love you. Those are things that we can do for other people that build up treasures that Jesus and God, they want us to do nice stuff for people and to make them feel better. Because Jesus did stuff for other people to make them feel better, right? Because that's what God wants. Can you pray with me? Father, we may never have much in the way of earthly treasure, but help us to be faithful each day in building up treasures in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Yvonne, for that beautiful children's sermon this morning. So let us get into the real meat this morning. The Lord be with you. I bring you grace, mercy, and peace this morning from God our Father, his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who calls us in worship this morning. Into this message, I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about the Christian faith as the spiritual substance that every Christian needs in order to live and enjoy a successful Christian life or spiritual life. In other words, to enjoy or taste heaven while yet on earth. It's what we're talking about. Enjoying and tasting heaven while we are still on the earth. David says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And then this is from Psalm 34, where he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And God comes in our lives, and one of the things he brings is that tastiness about himself. And so we taste God and we see as we fellowship in faith with God. Notice I said Christian faith, because there are too many faiths out there today. We have people who have faith in themselves, people who have faith in other religions, people who have faith in Mother Nature. You have people who have faith in science. And people have faith in a whole lot of different things, but we want to zero in this morning on the Christian faith. This topic is important today because far too many Christians are looking for spiritual success through means that were never sanctioned by God in the first place. And as a result, they become like the man who convinced himself that he's going to get to the moon riding a bike. And so many Christians carry that kind of mindset. One example is the prosperity gospel faith-based establishment, all right, that teaches, I would say, that they take the cart and place it before the horse, all right, and they make prosperity the central focus of the proclamation, whereas this is not the, should never be the central focus of our proclamation or the gospel or our Christianity. And today Jesus addresses this issue as we look at it in the gospel. So this spiritual substance, this thing called faith, in other words, is the first substance that enters the human's heart, giving us the ability to respond to or please God. It's the first substance that enters us. A Christian that has no gospel faith is like a car with no gasoline. No matter how beautiful the car may look, no matter when it was made and what it looks like and the color of the car, if it has no gas in it, the car is not able to function fully. And so it is with those who profess to be Christians, but not walking in the faith of Christianity. This is a very important aspect of faith. This is the reason why a lot of Christians are weary today. A lot of Christians have fallen along the wayside from the journey. It's like a broken down car on the highway because it ran out of gas. And we run out of gas because we lack the faith to continue on in our journey as Christians. Three quick passages to look at this morning. The first one is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. In it he says, "For we live by faith and not by sight." In other words, the church does not live by what we see. We live by faith. And not the things that we see around us, but by faith. Faith is the life of the church. And so if a person doesn't have faith, then you don't have the life of the church. In order to be physically healthy and fit, there are two things that are required to do. One is you have to eat healthy, and you have to exercise often. And so those two things are required in this physical world for anyone who wants to live a very healthy life, physically. And so spiritually, God is requiring a healthy life from us. And in order for one to live a spiritually healthy life, one must have faith. We have to have the faith of God living inside of us. And how do we get this? We get it by what? Taking it in. As we receive the word of God this morning, you are receiving faith. And then the next thing is to exercise that faith, and that is to live in it, to practice it, to do it. All right? So that's the two ways in which we become healthy spiritually. Look at the second passage in Ephesians 2, verse 8. It says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God." So you see, it is through faith that we receive from God our salvation according to the scripture. We receive it by grace, and it comes through faith. And so one must have faith to be able to receive the gifts that God brings to us. This is a very important aspect. It is not by the works that we do. It is something that God is doing by himself. The Bible says, "For it is by grace you are saved through faith and not from yourself." So faith comes from God. Grace comes from God. Salvation comes from God. Everything that has to do with our eternity and the new life that we have in Jesus Christ comes from God. There is no work on your part to make this happen. And this is the reason why, you know, I have problems with churches who would say that a kid cannot get baptized until he or she is 12 years old or 10 years old. Like we have some kind of contract we sign with God from the beginning of this whole salvation thing where somebody, you know, said, God, you know, we have to put an age in here. The Bible says that in sin did my mother conceive me. So we come into this world in sin, and everyone that is born of a woman ought to receive this grace that comes through faith, no matter your age. And it comes through God to us. The next scripture to look at this morning is in Romans 10, verse 17. It says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about God. The thing is, this is the fact, this is the truth, and this is the thing that the devil has stopped the church from listening to. It is the word of God. People think that they can, through some kind of illusion, get to understand God without his word. It is impossible, my friends. We need God's word. We need to have the word of God embedded inside of us. And so that every action that we take and every move that we make must be taken or moved in the word of God. But how would that happen if we are not hearing the word? The evil one tried to steal this word away from us by keeping us away as far as he can get us away from the word of God. But the scripture tells us that we cannot have faith in God unless we have the living word of God living in us. And it comes by what? Hearing. Hearing is the way through which we receive God's word. Look at that next scripture in Hebrews 11, 6. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who honestly seek him. This is the New Testament text that was read this morning. And it lets us know in this text that without faith, it becomes totally impossible to please God. And this faith thing, it is not something that we build up into ourselves based on our own ideas or our own, you know, subjective truths. No, it is something that comes to us only one way. And the one way is through the living word of God. It's allowing God's word to abide inside of your heart deeply, deeply rooted. That our actions can be seen through the words of God. This is what the scripture is talking about in our Old Testament reading for today. It's the story of Abraham, who is giving the accreditation of righteousness because of his faith. Not because of any act on his part, but because he believed in what God says to him at the age that he was at, that he would have a son. And the Bible says, because Abraham believed, it was accredited to him for righteousness. All God wants us to do is to have faith in the finished work that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, my friends. This is where it begins, nowhere else. All God wants for us to do is to believe in the works that Jesus worked on the cross. Our own works cannot merit it. We need the work of Jesus Christ. So then what is faith? Here's the definition that I gathered. It says, belief with strong conviction, firm belief in something for which there may be no tangible proof, complete trust, confidence, reliance, or devotion. All right? That's faith. And when I read this, I think about the three Hebrew boys standing in front of the king and Nebuchadnezzar saying to him, you know, we are not going to bow to you, even if we know that God is able, they said, to release us from this fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't do that, we will not bow to you. That's faith. That's what faith is. You're looking at a circumstance in front of you that is capable of taking your life. But because of the firm faith that you have in God, you've said to yourself that I'm not going to make any other choice. I'm not going to make any other decision outside of what I have received from God. And every step we take and every move we make it in God. This is what it is. This is what it's all about now. Now we can see why much of the world today see faith as foolishness. Because people, we live in an era of science. And to everything, there has to be a tangible proof. You have to see it. It has to be proven before people believe it. That's the kind of world that we find ourselves in. So imagine how dumb it was for the three Hebrew boys when they stood there and said that, even if God does not deliver us, we will not bow to you. But Jesus said to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen, but yet believe. Blessed are those who have not seen, but yet believe." And I believe when Jesus said those words, he was talking to people like you and myself. We were not there when he walked on this earth. We were not there when he was nailed on that cross. We were not there when they put him in a tomb and buried him. We were not there when he was risen from that tomb. We were not even there when the Holy Spirit ascended. But we heard the news, and by faith we received the words. And Jesus is saying that because we believed, we are blessed. Folks, this is what it's all about. It is by faith that we walk and not by sight. So in our gospel lesson for today, we hear Jesus making a convincing argument in getting his disciples or followers to understand what it is to live by faith. In the previous verses is the story of the rich man in the same gospel text. And this rich man, in his story, is talking about how he's going to break down his old bonds and build new bonds and fill it with goods and relax and say to his soul, have yourself some good time, relax. And God looks at him and says, "You fool, this very night your soul should be required of you." When you look at that story, when you look at the story of the rich man, you can see self-efforts. You see a man who has confidence in himself. He has faith in himself, in what he has achieved, in what he's able to do. But when you look at the story even more intently, you come to realize that God has divine power and authority over everything, over everyone. That including you and myself. And he makes the decision as to whether or not one lives or dies. And so all of our blessings and all of our efforts and all of our aspirations and all of our graces, everything comes from God. And there's a reason why we Christians don't live our Christian life not recognizing him as the source of everything that we have. We go back to him and we fall on our knees and we thank him for the day and we thank him for the evening and we even thank him for the afternoon. We thank him for the strength that he's given us to do the things we do. We thank God every time we look to him. He is the source of our life. He is the source of our strength. He is the source of everything that we are and everything that we have. Give God a hand of praise this morning. So from the gospel reading this morning, quick four reasons to have faith in the God of all creation. Quick four reasons. One, God is concerned about us. This is one reason to have faith in God. Look in Luke 12, verse 22, in the gospel reading this morning, Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear." This text lets us know here that God is saying to us that we must not worry about the issues of life, the things of life, all right? Because why? He cares for us. It's the reason. He says, "Your burdens have become my responsibilities." And this is something that we need to be very careful about. Here's another passage that supports this truth. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, it says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." God's concerned about us, my friends. Very much concerned about us. But until by faith we come believing that God is concerned about us, it makes no difference. But God wants us to first know this morning that no matter what you're going through this morning, no matter what your circumstance is, no matter what the doctor's report has been, no matter what your financial situation is this morning, God wants you to know that He cares about you. That's the first thing we must know. He says, don't worry. Don't worry because I've got your back. Don't worry. That's the first thing we must learn from the gospel text. The second truth is God values our lives. Look in Luke 12:23. It says, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Now, in other words, God is saying to us, life is more than the natural things we are seeking after. God is telling us how valuable our life is. He says, life is more than food. God values our lives more than we can ever think of it or imagine. All right? Look in Matthew 16:26. It says, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Jesus is talking about life and how valuable it is. And we can believe what He's saying to us because He created this life. And He knows what is good and He knows what is not. And the reason God is saying it, because when the dust settles and all of these things we are running after, you know, comes to a final end, you know, all of these things will be burned away. And then our soul will stand before God in the end. I've never heard of any rich or famous person taking their wealth with them over on the other side. That doesn't happen. When a rich or famous person passes and the funeral is over, the family sits there and decides on what is going to happen with his wealth. He doesn't take it with him. And this is exactly what Jesus is talking about. Life is more important, my friends. It is important. It is more important, and we must see it as that. Our souls are so important to God. This is why Jesus came. God sent his son into this world because the souls of men are so important to God. He values it so much, and he demonstrated it on the cross of Calvary by dying to bring us redemption. You see, Jesus' death on the cross was not just to display his power and show us how good he is and how powerful he is. He went on that cross and died because the life of man is so important to him. Your life, my life, the life of the guy standing on the street corner that doesn't know the value of his own life, all of those lives, Jesus went on that cross and died to bring redemption. So, my friends, God sees us more than we see ourselves. And this is so important. He came into this garbage to suss us out. That's what I would call it. Have you ever had the experience of sussing in the garbage for a valuable item? I have, and it's not a good experience. You know, it's not a good experience. But, well, that's what God did when he came into our world, looking for you and me. Because our lives are so important, and he is not willing to take this most precious life that he's giving to us and dash it into the hands of the devil and allow us to spend eternity in hell. God is not willing to do that. So he came up on this cross and died to bring us eternal life. And all who look to the cross by faith receive eternal life in Jesus Christ. Let's look at the next one. Next one is God knows our needs. God is not only concerned about us. God doesn't only value our lives, but God knows our needs. Luke 12:30. For the pagan world, the scripture says, run after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. The message here is this. God is more aware of our needs than we ourselves. The scripture is telling us. He's aware of it. God knows it, the scripture says. You have to have the truth embedded within you to trust God enough to know when you're going through circumstances, to know when you're lacking stuff, to know when your life doesn't seem to have a definition at a particular moment, to know that God knows your need. It makes all the difference in the world. This is what faith is about. And I keep using the three Hebrew boys because why? They didn't know what the outcome would be, but they trusted God. They said, we know that God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. But if he doesn't, even if he doesn't, we won't bow. That's what trusting God is. You put your total trust in him. See, we were just at Busch Gardens, and they got all these crazy rides to this place. And Andrea put me on one of those things. And I'm telling you, that was the longest 1 minute of my life that I ever had on one of those things. And it will go that way, go this way. It's spinning at the same time while it's taking you. But you have to, while you're sitting there, you have to trust that thing to bring you back down. You have to trust the people who are controlling the equipment, whatever it is. And I was up there trying to be man, you know, while this thing was doing its thing. I was trying to be brave and acting like a, you know, a strong guy. But inside of me, I was really troubled. And I got down to her, that's it. No more. Okay? But the point is, you know, that's the, we trust our lives in the hands of those people that are operating those things or into those equipments, knowing that going up there is dangerous. But we do. We need to learn to trust God, the creator of the universe. He got our back. God bless you this morning. Amen.
Please be seated. Faith and trust. Was thinking about that faith and where my faith started. And it was with my grandmother and the seeds that she would plant and the love that she would nurture us with. So when Pastor was saying about when someone dies, they don't take their wealth with them. It stays here, and it's up to the family to decide. Faith is something else that we leave here with our family. And it just really struck me when Pastor was doing a sermon how important it was to me. All the money can go, the wealth can go, but the faith will always remain. Will you pray with me? Gracious Father in heaven, Father, we give you thanks and we praise you for this beautiful day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we thank you also for calling us into worship today. For it is only by your grace alone, that we are here. Gathered in this place, in the shadow of your wings, to worship and to glorify your holy name, to lift you high. Father, we do this by faith because we are sure of what we hope for, and we are certain of what we do not see. So we thank you for that faith. A faith that comes to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, your word living in us. Father, so we pray today that you keep us firm in our faith. Help us to grow deeper each and every day. And help us, by that faith, to spread the gospel message and grow disciples in this fallen world. Father, we want to give you thanks and we want to give you praise for the birth of Riley Eve this past week, a new great-granddaughter for Barbara Ambrose. God, you are so good. We thank you for the gift of life. We also want to thank you for a successful vacation Bible school. Lord God, we thank you for the workers. We thank you for their commitment, a commitment that can only come through knowing you. Father, we thank you for the children that you sent to us. Father, and now the seeds have been planted, and we hope and we pray that the power of the Holy Spirit take over. Nurture those seeds. Water them with your love and your grace. Help those children, some that may have heard of you for the first time, become hungry and